This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my lighthouse. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa, I'll guide you home with my lighthouse. When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my lighthouse. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa, I'll guide you home with my lighthouse.
Welcome to Lighthouse of Hope. I'm your host, Michael Hempseed. Joining us today, we have Jackie Victor from True Grit. Jackie, welcome to the show. We'll get to that in a moment, but first of all, we wanted to talk about some of the places that have been badly affected by the earthquake, such as Cheviot and Hamner. Now, Jackie, I believe you were in Hamner over the weekend, is that correct?
Yes, we were. I took my team of 18 up to Hamner for a pleasant day of pampering.
Fantastic. And can you tell us exactly what that involved, please?
Well, first of all, it involved originally booking through a booking agent through the spa there, a woman called Debbie Moody, and she put me on to sort of a few ideas of what I could do up in Hamner for a team.
Yes.
And so we decided that we would do we would go to the spa and the girls would have a treatment. Then we'd do hot pools. Then we would have lunch. So she organised a place for us to go to lunch. And then after that, we were coming home via the Marble Point Winery, which was fabulous. Yeah.
So it sounds like you had a fantastic day.
We had a lovely day. We had a really good day, and I think my girls felt very spoilt. And I actually felt very good about sort of injecting some money into Hamner, because Hamner itself was exceptionally quiet, very quiet.
Yeah. And I guess the first question a lot of people want to know was there much damage? Was it safe? Were there any earthquakes? Was there anything like that?
To be quite honest, Hamner looked exactly the same as what it was the last time I was there, apart from the fact that it was lacking in people. There were no diggles while we were there, of course. Honestly, it's a very safe environment. I had spoken to Debbie a couple of days ago and asked her, you know, was it a good idea that I brought my team up, and she said, well, to be quite honest, we haven't got any signs of any damage whatsoever. Everything's been checked over and we felt very safe in our environment. We didn't feel at all nervous.
Great.
That was good.
So I think one of the best things that people in Christchurch can do to support some of these businesses that have been really stuck is to go and visit places like Hamner and Cheviot and just spend money there, basically.
Yeah, I think totally. We went to Malabar for lunch, and it was a beautiful lunch. And the guy there, he went all out, you know, to help us, you know, to have such a wonderful time. And my husband arrived with half a dozen bottles of champagne. And he went into panic mode because he goes, oh my gosh, I haven't got any champagne glasses. They all got broken in the earthquake. And Shane says, oh, well, don't worry. We'll just drink it out of wine glasses. It's fine. And so he said, no, it's got to be right. So he apparently searched in some attic somewhere and found exactly 19 champagne glasses, and he popped them on the table for us. So it was rather special.
Fantastic. So it sounds like a great place to go and visit, and I'd highly recommend anyone from Christchurch.
Yeah.
If you weren't planning it, you could even do a day trip there, but a lot of those communities have lost a lot of business from international tourists, and we need to get people going back there. Okay, so Jackie, tell us a little bit about yourself. So what is True Grit?
True Grit is a salon full of pretty amazing hairdressers, and we were severely interrupted by September earthquake in 2010. I had a staff of 24 at the time, and we basically were out. We were out of our salon, and we were never to go back. That we found out. Well, we found that out later. So we were in Manchester Street there, a beautiful old building, you know, triple brick building, typical of Manchester Street sort of type building. And so we shifted a few times eight times in the five years. So first of all, we would, my girlfriend of mine's got a salon down in Ferry Road, and she took us in. So she took in all our team, and we resided there for 6 weeks, which worked really, really well. And in the meanwhile, we were looking for another premise, which we finally found. And that's a big story in itself, but we survived there for 5 years. And then in just at the end of last year, in October, we moved into our brand new building that we had spent the year building. So we are now very, very happy in our beautiful residence. So we love it. Fab.
Great. And one of the reasons that I got you on the show was one of the things that's starting to come out is a lot of people in the quake-affected communities are really starting to worry. They're starting to worry that life will never be the same again and they won't get things back on track. But you have managed to do that?
Absolutely. I think you just got to... I think, well, first of all, totally believe in your business and yourself and your team, and just knuckle down and just go for it, and don't let anything get in your way, because you know, it's a massive challenge, but there is absolutely definitely light at the end of the tunnel. And you know, like, I mean, it took us 5 years in sort of less than ideal premises, but you know, as long as you keep your team inspired and keep your team together and keep your team happy, then I think, you know, you just leaps and bounds. Fantastic. I mean, yeah, it's all come good for us, but it's a hard road to hoe, and you think it's never ever going to get any better, but it does, and it's just, yeah. Fantastic. A great achievement at the end.
Great. So let's just go look back a little bit. So you started the business. How did that come about, and what was it like in the early days?
Well, I bought True Grit in 2005, and I already had another salon in Christchurch called The Front Room. And so I bought this building. We bought the building and we bought the salon with a business. So it was quite a big thing for us at the time. There's a lot of money invested in it. So yeah, and we just went from there. In 2007, I decided to close my my front room, the other salon, because I wanted to put all my energy into True Grit, because I could see the potential, and we had the space to grow. It was a large salon, and we sort of built up into upstairs. So, you know, I could see that there was way more potential to be in one space and do one space well, rather than having two businesses and chopping and changing between the two.
Absolutely. Mm. And how many staff did you have when you first started out?
At True Grit, I had the owner and one other and myself.
Okay, so it was quite a small team when you began.
Very. A very small team, but I moved over some of my team members from the front room that I thought were more suited to the True Grit kind of culture, etc. And so that was where we started to really thrive, sort of bringing on some of my already trained people, and then we just slowly built the team. Always training young people at the bottom and then moving them up through the ranks. I've got two or three girls now working for me who I trained originally in those early years, who still work for me and are master stylists on the floor.
Fantastic. And in those early years, what was your highlight?
My highlight in the early years of True Grit was coming up with the concept of a colour lounge, and in that You know, I built a fabulous team, and you know, we put in this colour lounge upstairs, which gave people the opportunity to have colour without having to stare at themselves in the mirror. And it was, we sort of called it our colour lounge, and it was probably the first of its kind in New Zealand. And I was very well encouraged, very much so, by L'Oreal. They helped us out. So yeah, that was just an absolute highlight for me to finally open that colour lounge and have, you know, we had beautiful chandeliers, and it was just an absolute stunning stunning environment. And you know, that was my highlight. And to see it all go down in September was pretty devastating.
And what sort of business damage did the business suffer in the September 2010 earthquake?
It lost its home for one thing, which wasn't so great. But I don't know. The actual business itself, it kind of gave it its name. It really sort of ingrained the word True Grit, or the name True Grit, into our culture. It was like nothing was going to stop us from still operating, whether we operated in another salon, in a friend's salon, whether we, you know, so the earthquakes for us, it was just like, we really... True Grit was True Grit. We had it all. There was nothing going to take us down. Nothing was going to stop us from thriving and moving on from there. Yeah.
And where did the name True Grit come from? How did you come up with that?
I'm sorry, I cannot take all the glory for that. It was named True Grit when I bought it from Celine Wiersma. She often rings me and talks to me and says, my goodness, you really, really, really deserve to be called True Grit. I'm glad I didn't take the name True Grit with me, because I didn't name it, I bought it with the name True Grit.
And after the earthquake in 2010, you thought that one day you would be able to go back to the premises?
Absolutely. We, after that, the first earthquake, we had engineers installed, and the engineers were monitoring the building. And one of the things they did say to us, that to go back into this building, that it would have to be completely strengthened, and that there would be a huge cost, obviously, involved in that. But you know, that was our intention, was to go back into that building, have it re-strengthened, and bring it up to the building code. I mean, the whole of Christchurch at the time, this is what we were all thinking, that all our buildings would be fixed, or we could have them fixed. So the engineers, they monitored that building every earthquake or every little jiggle that happened after September. They monitored what was happening and the movement that was happening with inside, because there was quite a bit of damage, but that was, you know, fixable. And then when February happened, and the whole front of the building fell off, that's exactly what they said. That's exactly what they said would happen to the building at the time.
Yeah. And so after the February 22nd earthquake, it became obvious you wouldn't be able to go back into the building.
Absolutely. And to be quite honest, at the time, it was our silver lining, because the building was so damaged that in the first earthquake, you know, as I said before, the cost to bring it up to standard and to fix it and da 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 was going to cost more than to drag the thing down and rebuild it. So it had to come down. It was a no-brainer. There was no way that we could go back into that building. And so I think they pulled the building down in the Easter of that February 2011. So yeah, it was gone. Finished.
And then you said you had an immensely tough time over the next 5 years, 8 moves. What was that like each time you had to pack up and move again and again and again?
I tell you what, it did get me down. I'd be lying if I said it didn't bother me. I think the whole time I just kept thinking about, you know, I've got all this great team of people, and I just had to protect them and keep them in the lifestyle they were accustomed to. That's what my husband always says. You know, so it was really, really difficult. And when we did find our unit that we lasted 5 years in, when we did find it, it was very, very small, and I had a team of 24, and I lost a lot of my very top stylists because it just became too hard. It got harder and harder and harder for a lot of the team, and that was devastating to me. Like, because my whole being was about keeping them safe and keeping them in a job. So when we took on our next unit, so there was the two units there, we were able to spread out, and team morale really lifted. We had a staff room, so, you know, I just felt we could spread out, and everybody became happier. And it was so evident. I mean, it was just unbelievable how everyone, you know, they had a place to go for lunch, they had a place to go to get away from clients or other team members or, you know, whatever. So it was there were good moments, and then, you know, then you'd have another earthquake and then it became bad again. It's just, yeah, it was a real roller coaster. And then in the 2000 and we'd been operating in our two units and happily chugging along, going really, really well. And then my landlord came to me and she said, "Jackie, we have to close down your unit. We have to get everyone out of the unit because the building behind you has been deemed unsafe." Now, we're talking, this was 4 weeks before Christmas. No, it was 3 weeks. 3 weeks before Christmas, the absolute busiest time you could imagine for a hairdressing salon. And I had to find a premise and I had to move my team. And I did it in 24 hours. We were up and running in a new salon, in another salon. I got really good at it.
Wow, that is impressive.
Yeah, we got really good at it. But the thing is, with the people of Christchurch, everyone just wants to help. So all my friends, you know, anyone with a truck or whatever, they came in, they had people who restored our stuff, you know, and everyone just buckled down. All my team got in behind it, all team's husbands or boyfriends or whatever, they were all there. Everybody was here, the fathers, the mothers, everyone was here, and we just shifted, boom, to another premise.
Amazing.
And, and so we operated in there for 6 weeks. And that was the year that we had the earthquake just before, I think it was on Christmas Eve, remember that? Terrible. Yeah, another one, and that's when a few more of my team just lost it, and they just wanted to leave Christchurch. So after Christmas, I lost another couple of stylists. So yeah, there were moments when it was really bad, and other moments when we were just surviving. You know, just every day we'd come to work, we wanted to appear with great attitudes and for our clients and make our clients feel beautiful, which is why you're a hairdresser. And you know, you're chugging.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we decided that we were going to build back on our Manchester Street that I started to feel really mega positive again about my business, because I could see that we were going to end up in a beautiful environment, a beautiful salon, safe, like, you know, safest building, best building construction, everything. And that's where we are now.
Right. And what was the building process like? Because you had a few challenges through that, didn't you?
The major challenge was, Well, we started, you know, we're ground zero here, and we're they're putting the, they're getting in there with the bulldozers, and they go to bulldoze the land, and they find asbestos. In the ground, and so, you know, that was another huge expense to get that. That stopped the building process for a while they had to remove all that. Then they hit some water mains or something, and that they had to tap all that. Oh no, they hit a spring. They hit a spring, so that then they had to fix all that. It's like, just hurry up and get going. But yeah. But, you know, the building process itself really wasn't that bad. It was just, it just took time. And we had great builders, great architects. We couldn't have been, you know, it couldn't have been better, really. But it just, it was another year. You know, it just took a year, probably, nearly, close to.
Yeah.
So,
and now,
yeah, it's time.
And now you're in a fantastic new building. Tell us what it was like for the opening night.
You were there, weren't you, Michael?
I was, actually, yes.
yes, it was such an incredible, proud moment of, you know, to be there with everyone. And we had such a big turnout of people. I was just blown away. And it was, you know, it was a fabulous night, and you know, I think we just lived up the whole process lived up to my expectations. I mean, just everything about the salon's just been fabulous, and we love it. I love it that the team love it, and I think that, and the clients, you know, they just love coming here, and they're telling all their friends, and no, so you know, now I just feel like we've just got this really incredibly thriving business. And if I think about where I was 18 months ago, it would just be like, you know, tearing my hair out trying to get into the building. If I think about what I was doing 2 years ago, I would just be, you know, going home at night and just, you know, so tired and so worn out and just at the end of my tether.
Yeah.
So, been worth it.
Yeah. We've just got a couple of minutes left, but I believe 2 weeks, Saturdays ago, you had a very good night. What happened?
Oh! well, we went up to Auckland to the Business Awards, and True Grit came out with all these awards, and we actually got the biggest award. And I've been my intention was to win this for 10 years now. I've been working on it for 10 years, and so we came out with the best salon in New Zealand.
Fantastic.
So, top salon in New Zealand, yeah, award, and a couple of other awards as well. So we came out with 6 awards in the end. So we're pretty stoked, and it was lovely having my team with me. We had a team. There was 10 of us at our table, all from the salon, and it was just the most. I just loved seeing them being so proud as well. So it was great. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. I'm still on cloud 9 over it.
Great. And finally, if people are listening from, say, Kaikoura or some of these affected areas, and they think their business has had it, they're never going to get back on track, what would you say to them?
I'd say just dig it in and give it all you got, because it will come better, and it will come right. You've just got to believe. You've got to believe that you can get there. And, it's hard, Yekka, and you've just got to be just... stay positive. Don't let it get you down. And reach out for help. Like I've had a couple of people come to me through the hairdressing channels on Facebook and different what do you call them sites or whatever. And you know, if anyone can ring me, and if they want to have a chat and just, you know, offload or whatever. Like, honestly, it's what you got to do. You just got to get out there and ask for help, and ask, come to the people who've already lived it, and we can help. We honestly, true. Yeah.
Fantastic. And so I'd really encourage people to share Jackie's story. This is available on the Plains FM website as a podcast. So there's a lot of people out there that are really worried about the future. Please share Jackie's story. Jackie, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome, Michael.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home.